And this event is known as the triumphal entry, where our Lord Jesus Christ presented himself as the Messiah. And within church history, within the first couple of hundred years of church history, the term Palm Sunday was created simply to illustrate the fact that our Lord presented himself as the Savior, the Messiah, the week before his ultimate death, burial and resurrection. So this being the Sunday before, Palm Sunday, I'd like for us to study this passage of Scripture and see what God has for us as far as application is concerned. Now, it's important that we understand in preparation for our Lord's presentation of himself as the Messiah on this Palm Sunday and during this triumphal entry into Jerusalem, that we need to understand there are some things that are taking place. It is not only Passover season. The Jewish people are selecting their lamb for their household, and they're preparing for this Passover celebration. But also it's important that we understand that the religious leaders of that day were plotting and planning to kill the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we had time, we would go over to the Gospel of John, chapter 11, and we'll note there that very clearly the Sanhedrin, the Pharisees, Sadducees, the main religious leaders, were plotting and planning to take advantage of this opportunity, knowing that Jesus Christ would be in town for Passover, and they are planning to kill him. Not only our Lord, but also Lazarus himself. Because as a result of the resurrection of Lazarus, many believed on the Lord. And the religious leaders that day were very uncomfortable about that. And because Lazarus was a living proof of the power of God. So they not only were plotting to kill the Lord Jesus Christ, but they're also plotting to kill Lazarus as well during this season. And their justification was simply that, look, if we don't take care of this Jesus Christ, then he will send the Romans into an uproar, and as a result, they will kill a lot more people because of the ruckus that will take place surrounding the Lord Jesus Christ. So they justified their agenda, their motive to kill the Son of God by saying, we would just take of this one, that's one life lost, it could be the very redeeming element that will preserve many people's lives being lost at the hand of the oppressive Romans. And it's within this setting we have what we referred to as the triumphal entry, where our Lord Jesus Christ presented himself to the nation of Israel as the promised Messiah. And here in Matthew chapter 1, please, if you will note there in verse number 1 and 2, that after our Lord had spent a night in Bethany, our Lord with his disciples made their way from Bethany unto the Mount of Olives, a mountainous range on the east of the city of Jerusalem, and which had full view of the city, and it was called the Mount of Olives because it was covered in olive trees. What a beautiful sight that would have been in the biblical setting. And it's from that vantage point that our Lord Jesus makes his way into Jerusalem and presents himself as the Messiah. And the Bible teaches us that while they are within the range of the Mount of Olives, that our Lord sends two of his disciples into a neighboring little village called Bethany. And our Lord said to these two disciples, I want you to go and I want you to untie and bring to me a donkey and her colt. And if anybody asked the question as to what are you doing, note then verse number 3, he said, if any man say aught unto you, or why are you taking these animals, that you are to say, the Lord hath need of them, and straightway he will send them. So the Lord Jesus commissioned two of his disciples to go into this neighboring little town, Bethany. The exact location is not confirmed even to this very day. But it's obviously not far from Bethany, round the Mount of Olives, that area. And the disciples sends these two disciples into this little town to collect a donkey and her colt and to bring them to him in preparation for his triumphal entry. Now, what right did the Lord Jesus have to say to these disciples, go and collect for me an ass and her colt? And if anybody is the question, you are to simply say, the Lord hath need of them. May I submit to you this morning that God is God, and He is Lord of all. Everything belongs to Him. In fact, He has a right to everything. And He proves His authority over creation by saying, I want an ass and a colt. And may I submit to you, my friend, this morning that God is the provider of every good and perfect gift. And we are simply entrusted with the stewardship of those gifts to use rightfully and joyfully for His glory. So our Lord Jesus wasn't being abrupt or disrespectful. He was just affirming the fact that He is Lord of all. He's the creator of the universe. And He has a right to all of His creation. May I submit to you, my friend, God has a right to your life. God has a right to my life. Who are we to question? What do you need this? What are you going to do with this donkey and colt? What right do we have to ask the question? And the Lord Jesus wisely said to His disciples, well, just tell them, the Lord hath need of them. See, we have no rights. We belong to our God. The Lord Jesus has right over your life and right over my life. And as He commissioned these disciples to collect these two animals, the Bible teaches us in verse number 6, and the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. They were obedient to their Lord. They obeyed Him. And upon the collection of these animals and the bringing of these animals back to our Lord, the Bible teaches us in verse number 7, and brought the ass and the colt and put on them their clothes, and they sat him thereon. So the Bible teaches us that the disciples bring back the donkey and bring back the colt, and then the disciples put garments on the animals, and then they placed our Lord Jesus on the colt. The Bible teaches us this colt had never been ridden before, once again proving His authority over His creation in submission to Him. And then the Bible goes on to teach in verse number 8, and a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut their branches from the trees and strewed them or spread them out along the way. So the Bible teaches us they placed the Lord Jesus Christ on this colt, they placed some garments as saddles, I'm assuming. And then the multitude, bear in mind, this is Passover season, Jerusalem and all the surrounding suburbs is absolutely swarming with people. Swarming with people. Josephus estimated there would have been no less than 2.7 million people throughout the city and without that region, all there for Passover. The place was people everywhere, literally, everywhere. And as the Lord Jesus prepares to ride into Jerusalem to present himself as the Messiah on this Palm Sunday, the Bible teaches us they place personal garments along the road. People place personal garments along the road and they cut down branches, palm tree branches, and place them along the way, leading down towards the city Jerusalem. This track was some 3 to 4 kilometers from the very top, making your way down and going through the Kidron Valley, then going back up to and entering into the city of Jerusalem. And Matthew there makes a declaration there in verse number 4 and 5, which is very, very important. So with this simple little entry on a modest animal, the Son of God was fulfilling Bible prophecy. And Matthew, as he writes under divine inspiration, said all this was done, verse 4, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, "Tell ye the daughter of Zion," in reference to Jerusalem. Often the term daughter was used in reference to a city. We see that in Isaiah chapter 62 as an example, verse number 11. "Behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek and sitting upon an ass, and a colt the foal of an ass." So, with this entrance into Jerusalem, Matthew said this is a fulfillment of a Bible prophecy. And the Bible prophecy he's referring to is found in the book of Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 9, please. Zechariah chapter 9. As God's people awaited the coming Messiah, the prophet Zechariah said, "You will recognize the Messiah, for he will ride into your city on the back of a colt and an ass." Note there in verse number 9, Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. This is just before Malachi, just in case you're struggling trying to find it. You're in Malachi, you've gone too far. Just one step back. Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9, concerning the promised Messiah that God promised his people, said, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion," in reference to Jerusalem. "Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem, behold, thy king cometh unto thee," thy Messiah, thy Savior. "He is just, having salvation." This is your Savior. Your Savior will come. Your King, who is a Savior, will come. How will he come? O Jerusalem, riding upon an ass, and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. So as the Lord Jesus rode into Jerusalem, this was a direct fulfillment of the prophecy made by Zechariah of old, that you will recognize your Messiah, your Savior, who is King, who brings salvation, riding upon an ass and the colt of an ass. So God was very specific and God was very clear to his people amongst countless other prophecies that illustrate and clearly spell out what are we to look for in a coming Messiah. What are we to look for in a coming Messiah? And Zechariah said very specifically, he will ride in on a donkey. Your king, yes, your king will ride into your beloved city, the daughter of Zion, O Jerusalem, on the back of an ass, the colt of an ass. So this very day that our Lord rode into Jerusalem, Palm Sunday, known as the triumphal entry, our Lord Jesus formally presented Himself as the Messiah promised to God's people. He identified Himself as the Messiah at His baptism. He authenticated Himself as Messiah at the temptation. His glory was revealed as the Messiah at the transfiguration. But it is in the triumphal entry, this event here, that Jesus Christ made an official presentation of Himself as the Messiah to the nation of Israel. He said, I am your Savior, I am your King, I am your salvation. And Zechariah said, this is how you will recognize Him. Go to Luke chapter 19 for a moment. Luke chapter 19, verse number 42. Let's read verse 41, 41 and 42. And when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it, saying, if thou hast known, even thou, at least in this thy day. That's a very important phrase there. This thy day. This is the day. This is Luke's account of the triumphal entry. This thy day. This is that day that Zechariah, no less than 400 years previously, prophesied would come. At least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. So Matthew records for us and tells us that with this triumphal entry into Jerusalem, that he is fulfilling that prophecy made by Zechariah of old. Thy king cometh unto thee, meek, sitting upon an ass, and the colt the foal of an ass. Jerusalem was full of Israelites during this time of the year. And it was during this time that God's people were preparing their land. And John the Baptist said of Jesus Christ in John 1:29, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. So it's no coincidence that it's during this preparation for Passover that the Lord Jesus presents Himself as the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. A Bible scholar by the name of Robert Anderson, in his study of Daniel chapter 9, verses 25-26, in calculating the 69 weeks and then the ultimate last week of Daniel's prophecy, he worked out that the 69 weeks that lead up until the Savior, the Messiah, being cut off or rejected was a period that equated to some 173,880 days. And that prophecy, he worked out, began when authority was given to God's people to go and rebuild their city in the days of Nehemiah back in 445 BC. And that was on the 14th of March. 14th of March.
Wonderful day. Such a good day. My daughter was born the 14th of March.
14th of March, 445 BC. That Persian king gave the mandate and the authority for God's people to go back and rebuild their city. And from that day to the very day that our Lord Jesus Christ was rejected as the Messiah, which was the 6th of April, AD 32, fits perfectly within the 69 weeks of Daniel's prophecy. And it's on this day, the 6th of April, AD 32, that Jesus Christ rode into Jerusalem and presented himself as the Messiah to the people of God. He fulfilled biblical prophecy foretold by the prophet Daniel. The Lamb of God was offered for all. At the very time that the Jewish people were there in Jerusalem preparing for the Passover celebration. And it's a triumphal entry. It's known as Palm Sunday because it fits beautifully with Daniel's prophecy. That as the Lord Jesus rode into Jerusalem on April 6th, AD 32, to the exact day, the fulfillment of those 69 weeks of Daniel's prophecy. And Matthew here within this passage of Scripture, as he records this event, he said, all this was done, verse number 4, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet saying, thy king cometh. And then if we go back to Matthew chapter 21, verse number 9, what was their response to our Lord's presentation of himself as the Messiah? Note then verse 9 it reads, and the multitudes that went before and that followed cried saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. So the people cried out, Hosanna, and this was a fulfillment of a passage of Scripture there in Psalm 118. Psalm 118, please. Psalm 118, verses 25 and 26. They quoted from the Psalms. And note then verse 25 it reads, save now. Psalm 118 verse 25, save now or Hosanna. Translated Hosanna there in the New Testament. I beseech thee, O Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. For we have blessed you out of the house of the Lord. So those two words there in Psalm 118 verse 25, save now, are the words translated Hosanna there in Matthew chapter 21. Which simply mean, save us now. Save us now from what? They wanted to be saved from the Romans. They wanted to be saved from the Roman oppression. And they cried out Psalm 118, verse 25 to 26 to this Jesus, this prophet. They said, save us now. Go ahead, save us now from Roman oppression. Give us back our city. Give us back our land so that we will rule our land and we will govern our land. not the Romans. So as they cried out, Hosanna, they weren't crying out, save us from our sin. No, they were crying out, save us now from the Romans. Now how can you prove that, Pastor? Well, let's just read on in verses 10 and 11 of Matthew 21. It's so obvious. And when he came into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? They missed the boat. They missed the boat. This one riding to Jerusalem has caused the ruckus. Who is he? Instead of saying, this is the Saviour. This is the Messiah. This is one foretold by Zechariah of old. No, they didn't say that. They said, who is this causing such a ruckus? And then note then verse number 11. It reads, and the multitude said, what did they say? This is Jesus the prophet. Jesus the prophet of Nazareth, of Galilee. They didn't say, this is the Messiah. This is our King. This is our Saviour. No, they said, this is a prophet. His name is Jesus and he comes from Nazareth. Soon they cry, Hosanna, save us now. The Jewish people were simply wanting deliverance from Roman oppression. But is that why our Lord Jesus came into the world? To be a political saviour? Of course not. The Bible teaches us he came into the world to save sinners. Let me ask you this morning, what are you crying out to God for? See, they cried out to Jesus, this prophet from Nazareth. They just considered him as a prophet. They said, save us now from the Romans. They missed the point. What are you asking God to save you from? I'm afraid that many people likewise missed the point. We're asking God to save us from difficult situations. Financial pressure. People issues, problems, health issues. Save us now. Save us now. So the Jewish people wanted Jesus Christ to save them from the Romans. They weren't interested in accepting him as their King and Saviour. They said, this is just a prophet, prophet from Nazareth. My friend, the Bible teaches us in 1 Timothy 1:15, as our verse reads very clearly up here, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Our greatest need is reconciliation with our Creator. Sin separates us from God. And the Bible teaches us that we are all sinners by birth and by choice. Our sentence for sin is death, physical and spiritual separation from God. And Jesus Christ came into the world to bridge that gap between a holy God and a sinful man. This is what we need. We need salvation first and foremost. Instead of crying out, Hosanna, save me now from my problems. No, you need salvation from sin. That is man's greatest need today. Jesus Christ did not come to save the Jewish people from Roman oppression. He came to save them and the world from the judgment of sin. This is man's greatest need. This is what Easter is all about. And this triumphal entry into Jerusalem marks that very point that our Lord officially presented himself as the Messiah, the Savior. And he was gracious enough to do so in fulfillment of a very clear Bible prophecy that identifies the Messiah. And the Jewish people would have known of that prophecy. But they deliberately chose not to believe that this is the fulfillment of that prophecy. Pastor, do you really believe that the Jewish people knew of this prophecy made by Zechariah? Absolutely. They knew. They knew what they were looking for. They were looking for a Messiah. But they wouldn't accept Jesus of Nazareth as their Messiah. They chose to live in unbelief. Yes, they cried out, Hosanna, save us now. Is that what you're crying out this morning? God, save me from my problems. Save me from the issues that I'm struggling on planet Earth. You ought to be asking, what has God's purpose for you? You're asking the wrong question, so to speak. And God's people deliberately rejected him. They said, oh, this is just a prophet from Nazareth. And no wonder our Lord wept. If you go back there to Luke chapter 19, he wept. Luke chapter 19, verse 41. And when he was come near, he beheld the city. As he approached the city of Jerusalem, Bible teaches he wept. Why did he weep? Because they failed to acknowledge him as their king, as their Messiah. They missed it, they missed it, they missed it. And that's why the end of verse 42 it reads, but now they are hid from thine eyes. You've missed it, you've rejected me as your Savior, now you are blinded spiritually. And then the Lord Jesus went on to pronounce judgment upon the city in verses 43 and 44. And this judgment would be fulfilled within 40 years of this event, the destruction of Jerusalem, AD 70. Note then verse 43 and 44. For the day shall come upon thee that thine enemies, the Romans, shall cast a trench about thee and compass thee round and keep thee in on every side and shall lay thee even with the ground and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. So because you rejected me as your Savior, your city will be judged. And our Lord prophesied the destruction of Jerusalem. That did take place within 40 years of the triumphal entry, AD 70. Horrific event. And Jesus Christ pronounced that judgment because of their rejection of Jesus Christ as the Messiah. So Palm Sunday, or the triumphal entry, was a formal presentation of Jesus Christ as the Savior of the world. Fulfilling Daniel's prophecy there in Daniel chapter 9, the 69th week, where the Messiah will be cut off, it teaches us in verses 25 and 26. That's in reference to him being rejected as the Messiah. And that took place on this very day. The Jewish people missed the point of his coming. They rejected him and ultimately crucified him. So in closing, let me encourage you, my friend, let's not miss the point as to why Christ has come. Christ has come to save sinners. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. The people cried out, Hosanna! Hosanna! They weren't interested in salvation from sin by a Jesus from Nazareth. They wanted just deliverance from their circumstances. And maybe for you and I this morning, you just want deliverance from your circumstances. My friend, Jesus Christ came to save sinners. Are you saved? Are you saved? They missed the point, the purpose for his coming. And I'm afraid that we likewise, as God's people, can be guilty at times of missing the point, missing the purpose of why God allows difficulties into our lives. And we're quick to cry out, Hosanna! Hosanna! Save me from my problems. Save me from my financial struggles, or save me from this health issue in my life, or save me from this uncertainty within the job place, or save me from this nasty person in my life. Hosanna, save me now! And we miss the point. Miss the point. Instead, we should be asking the question, what is God's purpose? What purpose does God have for me as He allows me to go through this time of difficulty? Instead of crying out, Hosanna, save me now, we ought to be asking the question, Lord, what will Thou have me to do? What are You teaching me? What is Your purpose in allowing this in my life? But no, no, no. We'd rather cry out, Lord, will You please provide a door out of this? Come on. No living being deserves what I'm going through. Show me the door. Just want to get out. We missed the point. Missed the point. So let me encourage you this morning. For those of us that might be crying out, Hosanna! Save me now from my problems. You and I, we need to just stand back and say, Lord, what are You teaching me? You've allowed this in my life, what are You teaching me? Instead of simply just wanting deliverance. And my friend this morning, just like the nation of Israel on this very special day, Palm Sunday, had the privilege of acknowledging Jesus Christ as their King, Savior, and Messiah, they rejected Him. Let me encourage you this morning, don't reject Jesus Christ as your Savior. Receive Him as He presents Himself to you as King, as salvation. Receive Him. Don't reject Him during this Easter season. Let's pray. Heavenly Father,